All right. If we could open up to James chapter 1. I've been given a lot of thought recently to prayer, and the last time I was with you in the second service here, we began to look through some different passages that Scripture would begin to talk about prayer and that relationship we have with our Heavenly Father. We looked into that 2 Corinthians 12 the last time, and Paul with a thorn in the flesh, and thought we'd come to this passage next. If you'd look with me in James chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God." And so first off, who do we go to? That great reminder that we realize we're in need. Who do we turn to? But what we realize within the context of this particular letter is that James is writing to those that were a part of church in Jerusalem. He was the pastor, and they'd been dispersed. They'd gone through great difficulty and trials, sent out of their homes in many cases, and they're going through these times of trials and difficulties. And so as he begins to write to them, you have the setting of times in which you're going through difficulty. What is that crying out to the Lord? What does that time of prayer begin to look like? What is it that God is looking at in our heart in that time? You know, I remember, and many of you know, I did not grow up in church. I didn't receive Christ as my Savior until I was an adult, a young adult, but an adult nonetheless. And I remember, though, as a young person, even not growing up in church in a believing family, that many times I would find myself praying and talking to God. Most of those, really any of those prayers, were really in times I'd got myself in a pickle. And the prayers would most times be something along the lines of, I think you could probably get me out of this. Can you get me out of this? I'll do better next time. I knew trouble was coming. I knew that report card was coming home the next day. I knew that that thing that I broke was going to get found the next morning. And so those were the times in which there was those prayers, and it was just get me out of the situation, anything but. It can be easy to begin to look at a passage like this in the time of difficulty and look at something like, but if any of you lacks wisdom in the midst of that, ask of God, and go, okay, is this a wisdom of how do I get out of this situation? And I could almost maybe listen to your argument in that if it wasn't for what comes right before this. And it's if you look back in verse 2, it says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials." It doesn't sound like the encouragement is that we just look for the first way out of the difficulty that we're in. In fact, if that was the case, they wouldn't tell us to consider it joy. And he goes down, he says in verse 3, "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." There's a recognition as we go through this that God is doing a work. And so if the wisdom that we're seeking is not, how do we begin to get just the easy button? Remember those old commercials? How do we not get out of the situation immediately? Well, if you go with me into chapter 3, he'll give a great contrast of really these two different types of wisdom that are out there. And in chapter 3, as you drop down, he'll go in verse 14 and say, "If you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above. It's earthly, natural, demonic." And he talks about jealousy and selfish ambition in verse 16. And I can tell you that as an unbeliever, the times that I would call it to the Lord, it was really about my own ambitions. And it was really just focused on how I can begin to come out on top in a situation. But if you compare that as the chapter goes on in verse 17, what is this wisdom that we're desiring? If we're coming before the Lord in the midst of those trials, it says in verse 17, the wisdom from above, so this would be the wisdom that God would give, is first pure, so undivided in its morality, undivided in its motive, and then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the question we have to ask ourselves is as we go through those times of difficulty, is our prayer, God, make this be what begins to fill my heart and my mind and define my walk with you? Because I recognize it's not something I can just manufacture, but is the desire of our heart to just get out of jail for free and just get out of the difficulty, or that in the midst of that, that God would be glorified and that it would be His Spirit seen in us. If you back up into chapter 1 again, we didn't finish that verse 5. Tells us that any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it'll be given to him. It gives a condition, though, in verse 6. It says he must ask in faith without any doubting. The one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That man ought not to expect that he'll receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. There can't be that mentality of, I want to kind of do things my way in the midst of this and my power, but at the same time, God, I want you to fill me up with your heart and your wisdom and how to walk in a manner through this difficulty that would bring honor to you and would glorify you. He goes, but if you'll come with that genuine heart, what good thing is he going to withhold? He's going to begin to pour out that wisdom within your heart and your life, the decisions that we make, the way that we view the things going on. You know, it made me think back a number of years ago. There was a gentleman that I worked for in the dealership realm, and it just seemed like from the moment that I met him, he had it out for me. And I remember I'd had the position for less than a year before, first time I was a manager, and he comes to the store, and we're walking out and looking at different things, and he goes, I just want to tell you right off the bat that if I was in charge when this position opened, I would never have hired you. And I go, oh, okay, that's an interesting first impression. Nice to meet you too. And as the years would go on, it just seemed like he had it out for me time and time again, openly in front of my peers, messages I would get. And I remember in the very beginning as I'm wrestling through these things, and as we see throughout the book of James, there was anger that I was dealing with, and there was different things that I was wrestling with. And I remember just thinking, God, maybe you'll move him out to another position, or maybe you'll move me out to another position, and thinking in that term. And I remember God just beginning to convict my heart. And I remember just sitting in that office and just talking to Dad and going, I don't want this to define the way that I'm walking any longer. I don't want my focus to be how quick am I going to get out of this particular season. But God, I need you to change my heart, where you would be glorified, those fruits that he promises would be seen, that it not be me, but it be you in the midst of that. And God began to do a work in my heart. And as he says in here that he'll give generously and without reproach, even though I'd been wrestling in the beginning and my heart hadn't been right at first, when I just came to him and admitted that my heart had been wrong in this, my way of thinking had been wrong in this, God began to pour that out. And even began to put a care in my heart for that man. I remember the last time, I told you the first time I saw him, the last time I saw him, it was about 4 years after that, he did end up going to another position higher up. And I remember the last time he came in to visit my store, and I'm sitting with him, and instead of beginning to point things out, he just starts to share all these things that have been weighing him down. And God gave me an opportunity to encourage this man and even pray with him as he sat in my office. And I in my own thoughts, I never would have thought that way, to have that care for him. That was only something that the Lord could do. And my encouragement is there's going to be different things that are going to come up in our life. Maybe it is individuals. Maybe it's certain trials and difficulties, certain seasons of time. We can think in the realm of, how do I just get myself out of this? God, pull me out of this situation. But if instead we'll go, God, in the midst of this difficulty, may you just be glorified. It's not going to be my power. There's nothing good that dwells in me. But if we'll come to him, he'll begin to pour out those blessings. And we'll get to watch him work, not only in our heart, but in those that are around us many times as well. And so we're one thing is for sure, we're all going to have these difficulties. We're all going to have these trials. According to 2 Timothy, Paul would say, if you desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to have persecution too. So these things are going to be well acquainted in our walk as believers. But it doesn't mean that there can't be victories in that. And so many times I think of those times of just hitting our knees and crying out to Dad and getting to just be genuine with him and ask him to change our heart. So shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to come before you this morning and just give you thanks for knowing how to begin to work on our heart. Lord, bringing us to the point of being broken and without strength in our own power. And Lord, how gracious you are that when we find ourselves in that, even when maybe we've thought wrong in the past, that you're just graciously and generously waiting for us to cry out to you. And that you begin to pour out your blessing, you pour out your wisdom. Lord, you begin to change our heart. Help us to change the way that we think. Lord, we just want to give you thanks for who you are today and your faithfulness in all of these things. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.